Welcome to this week's presentation of Truth Matters, the weekly radio teaching ministry of Free Grace Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas. Please join us for the next half hour for what we pray will be an edifying time of thoughtful discussion and helpful dialogue on contemporary issues involving the precious truth of God's Word. Your hosts today are Pastors Ken Billings and Tim Goad.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome once again to this broadcast of Truth Matters. I'd like to extend my condolences to our listening audiences today because they missed out on Ken Billings Jr. and his rendition of Chantilly Lace.
Thank you very much.
It was a spur of the moment impromptu performance, and
I'm just
we
glad
enjoyed
it was not recorded.
Much. I almost hit the record button.
I would like to say hello to any of Wayland Baptist University students who might be listening. I'm a professor, adjunct professor there, and I often tell my students to listen, so hopefully they're listening this time and you're not getting extra credit for listening. But if you're listening, can we give shout-outs? Are we allowed to do that on Christian radio?
We can do that.
I give shout-outs to them.
Well,
Wayland
okay.
Baptist University students.
Well,
hi.
Shout it out.
Shout it out.
I did.
Okay.
I gave the shout-out.
Well, good for you. And hi from those of us who have no idea who you are. But we trust that if you're a friend of Ken Billings Jr., you're a friend of ours.
That's right.
So, anyway, we digress severely. Let's get to the point here. We're talking, of course, about Mark Dever's book, The Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, and we're on Mark number 5, which deals with evangelism.
Biblical evangelism.
Biblical evangelism, as opposed to non-biblical evangelism, which, you know, there is a thing called non-biblical evangelism, and we've been talking about that, what evangelism is not.
Right.
And in our last time together, we made a couple of points about what evangelism is not. First of all, evangelism is not imposition. It's not our imposing our belief system on others. It's also not a subjective thing. It's based upon the objective truth of the Word of God. And Mark Dever goes on to talk about the fact that some people mistake social action or political involvement for evangelism. But, he says, the horizontal problems we face in society are often only symptoms of a breach in our vertical relationship with God. What's he talking about?
Well, I'll go ahead and you can.
No, I think it's obvious that he's talking about a deeper problem here, that evangelism deals with a deeper problem, not just a surface problem or a social problem, but a problem that men are in a quandary, if you will, in their sin and have a terrible relationship by nature with God, and that first and foremost has to be fixed. And so if you are just out trying to fix social problems and think that that's going to make the world better, you're mistaken.
Right.
Or if you are simply trying to persuade your friends and relatives that Christianity is just a better deal, you're mistaken. The heart of the matter is that men are sinners and that they need to be put in a right relationship with God, and that can only be done by God declaring one righteous through the merits of Christ.
That's true. That's true.
I think this is a good example of not throwing out the baby with the bathwater, because what we're not saying is that we should not get involved in social issues.
Right.
But I think that a lot of people think that, you know, by going to the soup kitchen and feeding the homeless, that that's evangelism.
Right.
Simply that action. Now, of course, you could share the gospel while you are there.
Right.
But just going to the soup kitchen is not fulfilling the requirement of being an evangelist. Or going to march in an anti-abortion parade.
Right.
Or some anti-homosexual marriage thing. Or any other Christian-related social activism.
Sure. Sure.
And again, if that's where you feel led to do, that's fine.
Right.
But that is not what evangelism is. And I think a lot of people think that they are fulfilling the command of the Great Commission by putting soup in a bowl or putting, you know, no abortion on a placard. That is not evangelism.
Exactly. And, you know, let's take this on even to a larger scale. There are a lot of people in society today, good, well-intentioned Christians,
right, right,
who will argue, you know, if we only had a Christian president, or if only everyone in Congress was a Christian, this country would change dramatically. No, it wouldn't. I mean, that is it's kind of a false argument, because what has to take place for this country to change is the hearts and minds of each person in this country need to be turned to Christ.
Well, it's ironic because at least professedly, we've had, what, 43 presidents?
You're on your own there.
But anyway, well, 40-something.
Mr. Adjunct Professor
Whalen. Well, I haven't memorized all of them. But my point is, though, that every single one of them have all professed to be Christians.
Right.
Every single one.
Right.
Without exception. We've never had a president professedly say, I'm an atheist or Muslim, Jew,
right,
et cetera. No,
right.
I'm Christian.
Right.
And, of course, I mean, professedly. But that still hasn't changed what many Christians would consider some of the morals of our country, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And, you know, for those in our audience who might be of the theonomist bent, those who insist that if we're going to usher in the return of Jesus Christ, we need to make this country a Christian nation, we won't do it by simply electing Christian representatives. You know, we will make this country a Christian nation if God is so pleased to reveal himself to every man, woman, and child in this country.
Right.
And we pray for that.
Yes, and that's something that we plan on dealing with after we're done with this study,
yep.
And that is to study the true nature of revival,
right,
which we pray for.
Exactly.
And that is the only way that society is going to change, is if the kingdom of God comes to this country, to the world, in power.
Right.
And that only by the gracious work of the Spirit of God, reviving the hearts of men. Yes, and even our politicians. I mean that I'm not saying that's where it starts. It starts in heaven and it comes down to man. But hey, it would be a good thing if the members in Congress would repent of their sins and turn to Christ. Maybe we could see something extraordinary in this country.
Exactly. And the point Kenny made a minute ago, when Nicodemus, for example, came to Jesus at night and discussed these various salvific issues with him, Jesus didn't say, what you must do is go to the soup kitchen,
right,
and work.
Right.
He didn't say, you must go to the clothing pantry and work there and distribute coats to the needy during the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
No, he told him, you must be born again.
Right.
And even more precisely, you must be born from above.
Right.
If you are to be a believer. So
let me just add one more time. We're not saying that don't not go to the soup kitchen.
No, do those things.
I mean, Christ desires mercy,
yes,
and so on. And that, you know, feeding the poor, those are noble Christian activities, but they're not to be confused with biblical evangelism.
Right. Even Jesus said, though, you know,
right,
to the extent that you've done this or not,
right,
done this to the least of my brethren, you've done it to me or not done it to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Our point is that's not that in and of itself is not evangelism. It is a good Christian act, but it's not the same as evangelism.
Nor are we saying that you ought not to investigate the morals and the political positions of politicians on election day.
Right.
You need to know the issues, and you need to vote not only according to your conscience, but according to those values, if in fact the politician that you desire to be in office shares those values. I
right.
think that is very, very important. And part of being a good citizen.
Right. You know, one of my favorite quotes is by Francis of Assisi, who said, you know, evangelize at any and every opportunity, and when necessary, use words. You know, and you know, what he means by that is you can be an influence in the world, shedding forth the light of Christ in the world by your actions.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those times when it's necessary to use words, and that's when we get down to this presenting the gospel itself. Your actions will never convince anyone that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. You must articulate that.
Right.
And hope that God will be pleased to save them. Well, we also have another bullet here in Mark Dever's notes, and this bullet is the Academy of Apologetics. He says, often people assume that defending the faith by answering the questions and objections of skeptics is evangelism. Is that?
Well, I think this gets down to the debates. I debated with a Hindu today about the existence of a God.
Right.
And thinking that simply the debate is evangelism. And again, just like with many of these, we're not saying that that's wrong, but engaging simply in some sort of theoretical, theological debates with non-Christians, that in and of itself is not sharing the good news of the gospel. Or if I think that's redundant.
Uh-huh.
Sharing the gospel.
Right.
But I think that's his point here.
Right. Exactly right.
And even though we appreciate mm-hmm. men like Dr. James White of the Alpha and Omega Ministries,
sure, right.
and the great debates that he's been involved in, there's some good that is done. But at the end of the day, unless that other person is persuaded of the truthfulness of the gospel, then, you know, it's just a debate.
You know, not to get too technical here, and I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Kenny, you were about to say something.
It's all right.
But not to get too technical, but there is a theological premise for what we're talking about. I mean, there are, in the apologetics realm, there's two classes of mm-hmm. apologetics. One is evidentialism, which is exactly what Mark Dever's speaking against as a form of evangelism. There's not enough evidence in all the world to lead someone to belief in Jesus Christ unto salvation. You can certainly change their mind about what they believe intellectually.
Right.
You can certainly get them to acknowledge a certain set of theological facts, but you can't lead them to salvation. Only the Spirit of God can do that. That's why most of us, especially in the Reformed branch of Christianity, believe in what's called presuppositionalism. And that is that, you know, we believe that the only effective way for man to be saved is for God to do the saving. And then on the basis of his regenerating the unsaved, they now have the ears to hear and the faculties to understand or presuppose with us that certain things are true. If I go to you and I say, if you're an unbeliever, and I say, the Bible says thus and such, then you're free at any given time to point out to me, I don't believe the Bible. Right there we have a fundamental breakdown.
Right.
There's nothing else I can say to you, because what I'm saying to you is on the authority of the Bible. So you see, we must first presuppose,
right,
having been regenerated absolutely. By the same grace of God, we must first presuppose that what I'm telling you is the truth.
Well, to show how sneaky this is in the Christian life, I remember, a few months ago talking with a fellow coworker who was not a Christian, about evolution versus, you know, six-day creationism, et cetera, et cetera. We spoke for about an hour on this issue. And I remember thinking to myself after it was over, wow, I did a good job evangelizing. And then it dawned on me, I never said a word about Christ.
Right.
All we did was talk about the theories of evolution and why I think they're wrong,
right,
and why the account of Genesis 1 is right, and
yep,
why the Word of God is correct.
Right.
And he told me why he doesn't think so, and so forth. And maybe I convinced him. I don't know. I mean, I didn't convince him. But even had I convinced him that Genesis 1 is accurate,
right,
and that the earth is, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10,000 years old,
yep,
blah, blah, blah,
right,
I never pointed him to Christ.
Right.
And I remember thinking at first, what a good day. I shared the gospel. No, I didn't. I didn't share the gospel. And there was nothing wrong with that conversation. But if it never ended with me telling my friend, you know, the most important issue is not how old the earth is or when it was created or not created, but what is your relationship to this creator?
Right.
Do you have a relationship through Jesus Christ? That would be sharing the gospel. I was looking here at what Mark Dever says. He says, apologetics can certainly and often does lead to evangelism. But unless Jesus is presented as God's only provision for man's sin and repentance and belief, are presented as the only way to obtain acquittal before God, the exercise remains merely academic and cognitive. And unfortunately, that's where I ended my discussion.
Right.
It was academic and cognitive and fun, right? It's intellectually fun mm-hmm. to argue that.
Right.
But it wasn't evangelism.
Yeah. Yeah. And Peter really gives us the answer when he said, sanctify the Lord Jesus in your hearts in order that you might be able to give an answer, or literally a defense. The word is apologeo,
mm-hmm.
to speak from a settled position. And that is, speak the words of Christ. Speak his words. Those are the words that will teach people the true nature of their sin and the true nature of the atonement.
Exactly. And that's a good point. I think true Christianity is not an academic exercise.
Right.
It's not an intellectual exercise. It's a relationship,
right,
with the Lord Jesus Christ.
And evangelism is not an academic exercise. It's talking about that relationship,
exactly,
with Christ.
Exactly.
That's what we're getting at here.
Right, right. Well, the next little subheading here is the variety of results. He says, perhaps the majority of people have confused evangelism with the desired or expected results of evangelism. But evangelism is not simply seeing people converted. Now, wow. I mean, how often do we think of evangelism and we pigeonhole it into the conversion aspect? You know, what does Mark Dever mean here when he says that evangelism is not simply seeing people converted?
I think he's talking about what we spoke about last week when we said that evangelism deals from our point of view with obedience and faithfulness,
right?
Not necessarily in the result. That there can be evangelism. I can present the gospel in a clear and biblical way, and no one, quote unquote, gets saved. And that
right.
doesn't mean evangelism hasn't taken place.
Exactly. Okay.
That's it. In fact, that's what he says in the next bullet.
Okay.
True evangelism can occur 1,000 times without a single convert.
Right.
Confusing evangelism with its results will eventually lead to frustration and disillusionment.
Right, right. And again, we'll talk about this probably in more detail later, but you know, the emphasis on evangelism these days is purely numbers related. We want to pack as many people into the church as we can. In order to keep the church open and vibrant, and you know, those are all noble motives, but evangelism can, and I would say most often, results in very little produce. That's why, as you said in last broadcast, you said that, you know, we're to be sowers of the seed of the gospel. You know, we plant the seed. Someone else might come along and water that seed, but it's up to God to provide the increase. So.
Well, what's the one of the great metaphors in the New Testament for evangelizing is the fisherman.
Right.
And I think many people today misunderstand.
That would be a Bushism.
Yes.
Probably.
They confuse present day fishing with New Testament fishing. They think
right.
Evangelism is putting a bait on a hook and dangling something in front of the prospective, you know, Christian.
Right.
While in the New Testament, it was just throwing the net out. You throw
right.
the net out and leave the results, in a sense, to God.
Right.
And that's what evangelism is. You talked about throwing the seed, same metaphor but in a different direction, is throwing the net. That's our job. We throw the net. We throw it out and leave the results to God.
It's very interesting you say that, because in one occasion, that actually happened when the disciples were out
right.
fishing and they threw the net over one side of the boat and caught nothing. And Jesus said, throw it over on the other side, and they caught so many fish they couldn't drag the net in.
Mm.
What that illustrates is the principle that God provides the increase.
Well, here's the question.
There's a lesson there.
Were they fishing the first time? Yeah, they were fishing.
Of course.
They just didn't catch any. You can go fishing all day, even in modern terms, and not catch anything. Did
right.
you go fishing? Yes.
Right.
So it's not like just because you don't catch anything didn't mean you weren't doing the activity.
Right.
Same with evangelism.
And was it their ingenuity that caused them to throw it on the other side and catch more fish? No. It was God who provided the increase.
Right.
And that's the parable that Jesus makes concerning the kingdom of God, or gives concerning the kingdom of God, is that the kingdom of God is like a drag net. And you throw it out, you pull it in, and you're going to find some, quote, good fish, or fish, we could call it converted
yep.
people. But
yep.
you're also going to find people that reject, and those are set aside.
Right.
We rejoice when the net is cast out, the gospel is given, and people are converted. But we also know that there are going to be multitudes that reject, sadly to say.
Right.
Do you think that's a prophetic passage about a TV show that was on in the 60s? Dragnet?
Oh.
One of my favorite shows.
Pastor Tim.
I'm just, you know, a little hermeneutical gymnastics there. You know, well, keep us limber.
Leave the jokes to the professionals, please.
But I'm bummed. It's okay, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be here all week. Unless you pay me to leave.
They're not paying you to stay, so you will be leaving.
There you go. Well, let's talk about what evangelism really is. I mean, we've spent enough time talking about what evangelism is not.
Right.
You know, when bankers and people in the money industry are being taught to identify counterfeit currency, they're not really taught what the fake currency looks like. They're taught to become so familiar with what the real stuff looks like that they're able to spot a fake from a mile away. So I think the bulk of our discussion should be on what evangelism truly
right.
is. So,
okay.
The first point there is that biblically, evangelism is simply telling the evangel. Clearly articulating the gospel of Jesus Christ and the claim that the gospel puts on people to repent and believe.
I think that what's interesting about that whole definition is the word simply. We could spend, and we have, pretty much 2 hours almost
right.
talking about what it isn't.
Right.
But when we flip it around and talk about what it is, it's a very simple thing.
Right.
It is, as it says, telling the good news.
Right.
and with our words and with our actions.
Right.
And it's, so it's really a very simple. I mean, we could almost end right now. That's what it is, and move on.
But, course, but we're not.
Of course not. We would never do anything easy.
And I also like the word claim that the gospel, there is a claim, or we could put a command.
Right.
Many people confuse evangelism with an invitation.
Right.
But we believe that the gospel and biblical evangelism is a claim or a command that the gospel puts on people, that is, to believe and to repent, or repent and believe.
Exactly. And, you know, interesting you should bring that up. In this morning's hermeneutics class, which we teach here at the church, we were discussing the fact that the Bible nowhere invites the lost to come to Christ. The Bible always commands the lost.
Right.
To come to Christ. And really, this is what spawned the Pelagian argument years, you know, centuries ago. A British monk named Pelagius actually summarized or surmised that God would never command us to do something we weren't capable of doing. And so he said, well, every man must be able to make that free will decision to accept Christ. And to which Augustine said, not so. You know, man will come to Christ only when God draws him to Christ. And what does that have to do with what was just said here? You want to read that?
Yeah, there's a quote here at the end that kind of sums up everything you just said from a book called The Grace of God and the Gospel by John Cheeseman. And this is what he says. Evangelism is not making of proselytes. It is not persuading people to make a decision. It is not proving that God exists or making a good case for the truth of Christianity. It is not inviting someone to a meeting. It is not exposing the contemporary dilemma or arousing interest in Christianity. It is not wearing a badge saying Jesus saves. Some of these things are right and good in their place, but none of them should be confused with evangelism. To evangelize is to declare on the authority of God what he has done to save sinners, to warn men of their lost condition, to direct them to repent, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
End quote.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a wonderful quote because it really illustrates exactly what the nature of evangelism is in terms of, you know, Spurgeon called it in one of his messages, one of his best messages, in my opinion, was entitled Turn or Burn. Mm-hmm. That's a command. It's an imperative. You either turn or you'll burn. And that's really the evangel in a nutshell, you know.
Well, since we are commanded to do the work of an evangelist, or at least Timothy was commanded that, but I think we're commanded to do this, we need to know what that is. And it's more than simply doing some of these activities, which are fine, but we have to tell people ultimately about their condition as sinners and about the salvation offered in Christ and their duty to repent and believe.
Exactly. Well, and in our next broadcast, we're actually going to expand our study of evangelism by asking the question, why should we evangelize?
Good question.
Yeah, this is a good question. It's undoubtedly going to lead to much conversation. So again, we thank you for listening today. We would like to encourage you to keep on listening to Truth Matters, AM 630 KSLR at 11:30 every Saturday morning. If you care to, you can visit us at our church, Free Grace Baptist Church, which is at 1801 Thorain Boulevard here in San Antonio, Texas. We would love to have you. You can also listen to all of our sermons as well as all of the broadcasts of Truth Matters that have been recorded thus far. You can go to www.sermonaudio.com/Free Grace Baptist. And we hope to see you soon.
Very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Truth Matters, the weekly radio teaching ministry of Free Grace Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas. Free Grace Baptist Church is located at 1801 Thorain Boulevard. Meeting times each Lord's Day are 9:45 a.m., 11 a.m., and 1:30 p.m. Our weekly prayer meetings are held each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. If you would like to visit on the web, you can find us at freegracebaptist.org. Thank you again for listening, and may God continue to richly bless you through the faithful study of His Word.